And so we continue our series on making the most of every season. The text of Scripture we used last weekend was from Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1, where it says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." And I want to note a couple words in that text. To everything, not just something, but to everything, there is a season. If we were to give a modern translation of that verse, it would say, every appointed occasion has something that God wants to do. So we're going through a difficult time, but God is doing a work. God wants to do a work in us, and God wants to do a work through us. So we want to make the most of this season. And so we have moved from looking at God and His greatness in our last series, the power and the might, the presence of God, and now we're looking at your life and your response to the season that this Almighty God has allowed us to be in. And it is a difficult season, but I believe that there's some good things that God wants to do in my life and in your life and in the life of our ministry. And I hear good reports. I'm thankful for your faithfulness to God, hearing of how you are being trusting God and God is using this to grow your family relationships and your ministry. Our prayer is not that the ministry would shrink, but it literally would expand. I'll give you a verse of Scripture for that in a moment. But then he goes on in Ecclesiastes 1:11 and gives a promise. And we've talked about the promises of God. Well, in Ecclesiastes 1:11, it says, 3, verse 11, says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time." God will make everything right eventually. He is going to work in all of the circumstances of this difficult time that we're going through. I like the text of Scripture from Isaiah 54:2, and it is a positive, affirming text asking God to continue to expand and help people to grow. Isaiah 54:2 says, "Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes." It's a verse that says, God, expand us. God, grow us. Help us to reach more, reach out further through this difficult time. And we're going to be looking at the life of Joseph. And Joseph certainly knew how to make the most of every season. That's the title of this series, Making the Most of Every Season. Are you going to go backwards or are you going to move forward? Are you going to grow or are you going to just groan and complain? Are you going to accept what God has allowed and trust Him that He would expand you and expand me? We looked at 1 Chronicles 12:32 last week, where it spoke of the sons of Issachar, where they had an understanding of the times. Lord, help us to understand this time period that you have placed us and allowed us to be here in this time and place for a reason. Remember Queen Esther, the well-known phrase, "For such a time as this." God placing you and me in this world, in our church, our family, our community, for such a time as this. And we all have particular assignments. It's not like there's nothing for you and I to do. We all have things to do that we'd be faithful to God. My mom just shared with me that this week, because she has, she just had her 85th birthday, and usually During a normal week, she goes out and visits the old people. That's what she says. I'm going on visitation to the old people. And I'm like, well, Mom, you know, how old do they, you know, how long do they live in Michigan? You're an older person. She goes out and visits. Well, she's not able to do that, so she's going through her directory and calling as many people as she can. She's taking advantage of this time in this season. Well, the sons of Issachar understood the times to know what Israel ought to do. I want to know what God wants me to do and do the right thing. Now, we want to have a faith-filled response. Remember, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's not possible to please God. I want to be pleasing to God in this period, that I'm doing the things He's called me to do. Now, last week, we saw that there were three good things that God can bring from this difficult time. The first one was to grow, that, you know, you and I should be growing. And we're going to look at Joseph, and man, he grew in difficulties. Through difficulties. He was put in really tough places, but in those places, he grew significantly. We want to look for opportunity to do good. Joseph's life is a testimony of all the good he did, no matter where he was at. If he was in the household where he was a slave, he was a blessing to that household. When he was falsely accused and put in prison, God blessed him in prison, and he was used in prison and promoted in prison. And then, of course, we know that he was put second in command in Egypt, and God used him to be a blessing to millions of individuals in feeding them, but also his family. He did good over and over again, and certainly, we want to grow, we want to do good, and we want to glorify God in everything. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether we eat or drink, whatever we do, we should do it to the glory of God. So let us do those three things. Let's grow, let's do good, and let's bring glory to God. Those are three simple applications of good things that can happen in difficult times. Now, the fact that we're going through a difficulty should not surprise us. All the way back to the failure of Adam and Eve in the garden and sin introduced to humanity, there has been difficulties. Job 14:1 says, man is born of a woman of a few days and full of trouble. Life is difficult. Life is not easy. Jesus said in John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation, difficulty. We'll be tested, but we can grow in those difficulties. We can do good in those difficulties, and we can bring glory to God in those difficulties. There's some well-known documentation of the life of Abraham Lincoln. It talks about the failures of a man that became known as one of the greatest of our presidents. We sometimes forget that before he became president, he had numerous failures. But in the midst of all of Lincoln's failures, he also had great successes. Let me tell you, just give you 12 huge disappointments of failures and setbacks in the life of Abraham Lincoln. In 1832, Lincoln lost his job and was defeated for the state legislature. In 1833, he failed in business. In 1835, the love of his life died. In 1836, Abraham Lincoln had a nervous breakdown. In 1838, he was defeated for Speaker. In 1843, he was defeated for the nomination for Congress. In 1848, he lost renomination. In 1849, he was rejected for a position as land officer. In 1854, he was defeated for the U.S. Senate. In 1856, he was defeated for the nomination for vice president. In 1858, again, he was defeated for the U.S. Senate. But in 1860, he was elected as president. He went through all kinds of defeats and difficulties. Now, I could read, I won't take the time to do it, but I could read that of all of the successes, there are 15 notable successes through the same series of years. So Lincoln, we'd only think of his great success, but he also had failures and difficulties. It is a reality of life, and right now we're going through a difficult time. The pandemic is not easy for anyone, but we want to learn to discover those ups in those down times. Now, I want to help you unpack the life of Joseph. And so I want to give you the outline that we're going to be studying and looking at this week and maybe in the weeks to come. And we have the five D's. And we're going to look at his life, Genesis chapter 39 through 50. And we're going to see Joseph's dreams. We're going to see Joseph's disappointments. We're going to see his development. We're going to see his delights. And then we're going to see his destiny. And I believe these can be true of all of our lives, that we all should have dreams and hopes that God has given. We're all going to experience disappointments, and it's not if we have a disappointment, it's what you do with your disappointments. We need to all be developing. I talk about it all the time, but it's important that every day we're about growing, about maturing in a holistic way. Every way we can, let us grow, that we move forward, that we become more like Christ. I believe that God gives what's called delights along the way, those graces that he gives us that encourages us in the journey that we'll ultimately achieve our destiny, the things that God has for you and the things that God has for me. So if you have a Bible, I want to encourage you to turn to Genesis chapter 37, and we're going to spend just a couple minutes looking at this as we begin to unpack this, his dreams. And God gave Joseph a dream, more than one dream. He had a number of dreams. And dreams are one of the ways, especially in the Old Testament, that God communicated his plan for individuals. He would reveal things through dreams. And it's maybe not a prominent or a dominant way in which God communicates, but it's one of the ways that God can communicate. God can use many means to communicate. And in this text, dreams were used often by God throughout the life story of Joseph. And I believe that a dream is important. We might not call it a dream, but we might call it a calling or a vision or a hope that God has given. And everyone needs to have that before them that will encourage them and help them. We're going to see that Joseph goes through 13 years of hardship, 13 years of disappointment and difficulty. But I believe it is the dream that carried him through that. And so for you and I, as we go through this difficult time, we need to keep before us the things that God has called us to, the things that he wants to do in us and through us through this difficulty. And we'll see how that will help carry us as it helped carry Joseph. So let's read just a few of the verses of Scripture, looking at the book of Genesis, and we're looking at chapter 37, and we're looking at verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Cana. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah and his father's wife, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was a son of his old age. He also made him a tunic of many colors. But when the brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now verse 5. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear the dream which I have dreamed." Now, we're not going to look at the particular dream right now, but we want to just see that he had a dream, that God gave him a dream. And this dream was something that was going to help carry Joseph. It was God telling Joseph what he was going to do, the plan and the purpose that God had for him. Now, the purpose and plan that God had for Joseph is not the same for you, the same for you or the same for me. But God has for all of us things that he wants us to do, plans and purposes that he has for our life. If we were to look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, in that verse of scripture, it would say that God had plans and purposes. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has good purposes and plans for our life. He has things that he wants us to do and accomplish. That should inspire us and encourage us that we're his workmanship. He's crafting and making us, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So in this difficult time, he has good things that he wants us to do. Now, we can't be passive about this, by the way. We can't be just saying, "Well, God, do whatever you want to do." We have to do our part and invest ourselves in trusting him to do the work in us, but that we do our part of responding to that. It tells us of Jesus in Hebrews 12:2 that he had something that was before him. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Who for the joy that was set before him," Jesus, we're looking to him, the author and finisher of our faith, "who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." So here's my point. God wants us to get before us what he wants to do in us and through us. It helps carry us beyond the present difficulty. It helps us continue to be faith-filled and not become discouraged or overwhelmed with discouragement. Joseph had all kinds of difficulty, 13 years of it, before he became what God planned for him. But I believe this dream was ever before him. It tells us in Genesis 41:46 that Joseph didn't realize or actualize or experience the fulfillment of the dream until he was 30 years old. He had a dream. He was going to become great. His brothers were going to bow down before him. So was his father. Here he was just the youngest of the family and a shepherd, but God had great plans for him. That was the dream. We need to know the things that God has for us through the Word of God, and by the Spirit of God, we can know the things that God has for us, the things that he wants us to be like Jesus, and the things he wants us to do. And we can have those things before us. Jesus had joy, in that Hebrews 12:2, he had that joy that was set before him. You and I need that joy that was set before us. Well, let's look at the rest of this text. Here's the dream he had in verse 6. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. Verse 7, there were binding sheaves in their field. We were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheave arose and stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheave. This was unbelievable. You know, this seemed like just a foolish dream of a young person. But it was God's dream for Joseph. It was God's plan for Joseph. What we want to keep before us, and it's easy in life to get discouraged and to get down. It's easy for that to happen. But what we want to keep before us is what God wants to do in our lives. How God sees us, not how we see ourselves. Remember this story given in Judges 6, verse 11. It's the story of Gideon. It's where God cast his vision for what he wanted Gideon to do and to become. And here in Judges 6, 11, it says, the angel of the Lord came. And it says that while Gideon was threshing wheat in the wine press, and he was doing it to hide from the Midianites who they were being oppressed by, and the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon and said to him, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. So here, during the period of the judges, Israel was being oppressed by the Midianites. Here's Gideon threshing wheat in the wine press, trying fearfully, you know, full of fear and worry. And the angel of the Lord comes and says, Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. In the next verses, he says, you know, if I'm a mighty man of valor, why are we where we're presently at? And the angel was saying, this is what God has for you. This is who you're to become, a mighty man of valor. And God did indeed use him. So he had that vision for that God had, that dream that God had, the hope that God had, the joy that was set before Jesus that carried him through the difficulties to do the things that he did. It's so important to dream a dream. Well, let's go back to our outline of our D's if we can. And number one, dream a dream. Number two, life is full of disappointments. It's not if we have them, it's what we do with them. And I don't know about you, but disappointments can be difficult. That's why they're called disappointments. We can get discouraged in disappointing times. But God uses difficulties to purify us and mature us. So you can just be negative and pessimistic, or you can say, God has a purpose in this difficulty. How am I going to have a faith-filled response? So disappointments. Remember, disappointments were used in Jesus' life. In Hebrews 5:8, it says this of Jesus, that though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. So as Jesus went through difficulties, he grew. He learned obedience. His humanity was perfected in the difficulties that he went through. And that's what should be happening in your life and in my life. The James 1:2 says this, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It matures you if you have a faith-filled response. Now, everybody that goes through difficulty doesn't grow. Some people become pessimistic and negative. They fall away from the Lord. They don't stay faith-filled and trusting him, and they don't make the most, as our series is, they don't make the most of this season. This season is going to be marked as a time when of them going backwards and not growing and not trusting God. I want to make the most of this season. If we're going to do that, we need to accept difficulties and know that God has something good to come out of the difficulty. Romans 8:18 says this. Paul says, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What was Paul saying? Through the difficulties, the suffering of the present time, there's going to be greater glory. There's going to be more good's going to come than the pain that I've suffered. So God is able to take the suffering that you and I go through, and He's able to bring greater good out of it, greater reward, greater growth. So it's not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed hereafter. So let's look for a few moments at the life of Joseph. We're looking at his life, and he went through disappointments. Remember what his brothers said. It says in Genesis 37, if you'll go back there, it says in verse 4, his brothers hated him. And then it says in verse 5, it says again, they hated him. Look at verse 5 if we could. It says, Joseph had a dream and he told it to his brothers and they hated him even more. Think of the rejection, the pain. This was just the beginning of difficulties for Joseph. And then in verse 8, look what it says about his brothers. And his brothers said to them, shall you indeed reign over us? Shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more. There's degrees of hatred. They hated him more, and they hated him even more. By his own brothers, he felt great rejection. It tells us that in chapter 37, verse 18, look at that verse with me. Now, when they saw Joseph coming from afar, before he came near to him, they conspired against him to kill him. So Joseph certainly going through a difficulty. His brothers hated him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to snuff out this dreamer. They said to one another, oh, the dreamer is coming, verse 19. And then in verse 20, it says, come therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into a pit, and we'll say some wild beast has devoured him. We'll see what will become of his dreams. Don't let anybody steal your dream. Don't let anybody take that away from you. And so here, he went through difficulty and disappointment time and time and time again. And in verse 28 of chapter 37, it says that he was sold into slavery by the Midianites. There his own family takes him and sells him into slavery. Now, from a human perspective at that moment in time, things look pretty bleak. But guess what? All these events God was going to use to promote Joseph. God had good that he was doing. Is it possible that in our life, as we go through difficulties, that those difficulties have a purpose? Purpose to mature us, to purify us, and to promote us, to bring us to the place that God wants to bring us. I believe the obvious answer is yes. If he did it with Joseph, he can do it with you and I, that he has, as it says in Psalms 139, a plan and a purpose for every day of our life. That this season is a season in which God has a reason for this season. And I believe he does for the world. I believe he does for our church. But I also believe that he has a reason for this season, for my life and for your life. Discover that reason. Discover what God is doing. You're going through difficulty and disappointment. Now, it tells us in chapter 37, verse 36, if you'll read with me, it says, now the Midianites, remember, he was sold by his brothers to the Midianites. They were going to Egypt. This is how God was going to move Joseph to the place that he wanted him to be. And then in verse 36, it says the Midianites had sold him, Joseph, in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and a captain of the guard. Now, turn with me to chapter 39, if you will. This is more of a Bible study today, this weekend, but we want to see Joseph's life, and we want to see that in each of these settings. So Joseph is cast into this pit, left for dead. They sell him into slavery in Egypt, and as he goes into Potiphar's household, guess what he's going to do? He's going to prosper. He's going to everywhere Joseph was, God's hand was upon him. God's hand's upon me and God's hand's upon you. And here in chapter 39, it tells us, let's read a few of the verses. It says in verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. In verse 3, his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. For you and I to be in whatever setting we're in, and for people to know that the hand of God is upon us, that God is at work in us, and God is working through us. So certainly a dream is important. Know how God made you and God created you. God had a plan for you and a purpose for you. All of us will go through difficulties. It's a part of the human journey. Joseph went through difficulties, but in every place he prospered. The next part of this story talks about a difficulty. Potiphar's wife was interested in Joseph. She sought to seduce him. He rejected and resisted the temptation. She falsely accuses him, and he's thrown into prison. But prison isn't the end of God's plan for Joseph. All of these downs have an ultimate up. So he's sold into slavery, into Egypt. God's going to use that for his glory and for Joseph's good. And God is going to do great things through Joseph's life, but it's going to take 13 years of difficulty. So through the false accusation in chapter 39, verse 19, if you'll look with me, here's Potiphar's wife's report to Potiphar. So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. Verse 20, and Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoner were confined, and there he was in prison. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So here Joseph in a difficult downtime, but the hand of the Lord was still with him. Now, as he went through each of these difficulties, he developed. What happened with Joseph? Did he become bitter? No, he became better. Did he go backwards? No, he moved forward. He continued to grow. I believe he had that dream before him, that God's hand was upon him, that God was going to do something in and through him. And so we're going to look, and Lord willing, next week, we're going to look at the life of Joseph. We're going to see how God begins to develop him, grow him, and mature him. It was God's intention, as we look at our outline, it was God's intention that he would develop him through the disappointments. The dream was the plan and purpose God had. He went through disappointment, but God wanted to mature him, to prepare him for the work that God had for him. Is it possible that God wants to do the same for us in this difficult time? I believe so. I believe he has plan, he has purpose, he has good things that he wants to do in our lives, and in our ministry. And it is a difficult time, but in this difficulty, he wants to develop us that we would grow and we would mature just like Jesus did. It says in Luke 2, verse 52, that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and in favor with man, that we would be like Jesus and grow during this difficult time. Let's do everything we can to make the most of this difficult season. Let's have a faith-filled response, trusting God that he has some good to bring out of this terrible situation. When we get to the latter part of the story of Joseph, in chapter 45, the first verses, Joseph says, you know, my brothers, God had a plan for this. God had a purpose. I'd like to end with that text in Genesis 45 and verse 3. As Joseph's going to reveal to his brothers who he is, then Joseph said to his brothers, I'm Joseph. Does my father still live? And his brothers could not answer, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, who you sold into Egypt. But now do not, therefore, be grieved or angry for yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. What a faith-filled man Joseph was. How inspiring. When he went through 13 years, some of you might say, man, it's been, you know, 10 weeks or 13 weeks or maybe it's been a few years of difficulty. He went through 13 years, but he knew that God had a plan and a purpose for his life. God has something good for you and something good for me. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word and the life of Joseph. Help us to learn that, God, you have a plan for all of us. Let that become our dream, that you want us to be like Christ, that you want us to grow, that you have things for us to do, plans and purposes for each of our lives. Lord, help us to know how to handle disappointments. They'll purify us. They mature us. These hardships produce maturity, endurance, strength. And Lord, help us to grow during these difficulties. Thank you for the life of Joseph. It inspires us how to journey well through this difficult season. Help us to make the most of this difficult time. I pray your blessing on your word to your people, that you'll strengthen them with your grace. As Paul the Apostle said, Lord, your grace is sufficient. We trust and receive your grace, your strength, your resource from heaven, from the throne of God to us to strengthen us for every good work. We pray your blessing on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And God bless you and thank you.